And the Queen's hoping the royal baby is born soon because she's about to go on holiday. She made the comment in reply to a question from a 10-year-old schoolgirl at an engagement in the Lake District earlier. That's the latest. I'm Barry Weir.
This is Phoenix FM.
Movie. Flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go flight.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Surgeon.
Go flight.
Ecom.
We're go flight.
GNC.
We're go.
Tell me.
Go.
Control.
Go flight.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go flight.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Showtime.
Welcome to another hour of music from Hollywood, Broadway, and the West End. You are listening to Phoenix FM, and this is the Stage and Screen Show.
Better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Taking my claim lest your eyes is crossed. Oh, I'd swap my gun and I'd swap my mule, though whoever took it would be one big fool. Or pay your way through cooking school if in you would say I do. Your beautiful hide, prepare to bend your knee and take that vow, cause I'm a telling you now, you're the gal for me. Pretty and trim, but kinda slim, heavenly eyes, but oh, that size, she's gotta be right to be the bride for me. Bless your beautiful hide, wherever. Not too slim, heavenly eyes and just the right size, simple and sweet, and sassy as can be. Bless her beautiful hide, yes, she's the girl for me.
from the 1954 film musical Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. That was Howard Keel with Bless Your Beautiful Hide. The film featured songs by Gene DePaul and Saul Chaplin and was directed by Stanley Donen. It was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture in 1954, but lost out to On the Waterfront. The movie did lead to an Oscar, however, for composer Saul Chaplin, who won the award for Best Musical Scoring of a Motion Picture. And then a few years later, in 1961, he took home the same award for his work on another film.
There's a place for us, somewhere a place for us, peace and quiet and open air. Wait for us somewhere. There's a time for us, someday a time for us, time together with time to spend, time to look, time to care, someday. Somewhere we'll find a new way of living.
We'll find a way of forgiving.
There's a place for us, a time and place for us. Hold my hand and we're halfway there. Hold my hand and I'll take you there.
Somewhere from the hugely popular film version of West Side Story, which is one of the many superb songs written by Leonard Bernstein and Stephen Sondheim. The film holds the distinction of having won more Academy Awards than any other musical film, 10 in total, in fact. That's unless you count the honorary award given to Maurice Chevalier in 1959, the year that Gigi won its 9 Oscars, which would make it a tie.
Phoenix FM.
West Side Story stars Richard Boehmer as Tony and Natalie Wood as Maria, although neither of them actually provided their own singing vocals. So the song we just heard was not actually performed by Richard Boehmer and Natalie Wood, but rather Jim Bryant and Marnie Nixon. And this was certainly not the first time that Marnie Nixon was called upon to dub a big-name star's vocals in a major studio movie.
Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. While shivering in my shoes, I strike a careless pose and whistle a happy tune and no one ever knows I'm afraid. The result of this deception is very strange to tell, for when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well. I whistle a happy tune, and every single time, the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid. Make believe you're brave, and the trick will take you far. You may be as brave as you make believe you are. You may be as brave as you make believe you are.
Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and strike a careless pose and whistle a happy tune, and no one ever knows I'm afraid. The result of this deception is very strange to tell, for when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well. I whistle a happy tune, and every single time the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid. Make believe you're brave and the trick will take you far. You may be as brave as you make believe you are.
That was Marnie Nixon providing the vocals for Deborah Kerr in the 1956 film adaptation of Oscar and Hammerstein's The King and I. They're performing I Whistle a Happy Tune. And some years later, she was at it again, this time on behalf of Audrey Hepburn.
Bed, bed, I couldn't go to bed. My head's too light to try to set it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight, not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night, I could have danced all night, and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done.
I could have danced, danced, danced.
Once again, that was Marnie Nixon as Audrey Hepburn as Eliza Doolittle in George Cukor's 1964 film version of Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady. Although for many years Marnie Nixon's involvement in these hugely successful movie musicals was largely overlooked, if not totally ignored in fact, she's now recognised for her work and in 2008 was presented with the Singer Symposium's Distinguished Artist Award.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
The film version of My Fair Lady also starred Rex Harrison, who certainly did perform his musical numbers in his own inimitable style, as did Jonathan Pryce in Cameron Mackintosh's 2001 West End Revival production.
I've grown accustomed to her face. She almost makes the day begin. I've grown accustomed to the tune. She whistles night and noon. Her smiles, her frowns, her ups, her downs are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in, I was serenely independent and content before we met. Surely I could always be that way again. And yet, I've grown accustomed to her looks, accustomed to her voice, accustomed to her face. Marry Freddie. What an infantile idea. What a heartless, wicked, brainless thing to do. But she'll regret it. Oh, she'll regret it. It's doomed before they even take the vow. I can see her now, Mrs. Freddy Ainsford Hill, in a wretched little flat above a store. I can see her now, not a penny in the till, and a bill collector beating at the door. She'll try to teach the things I taught her, and end up selling flowers instead, begging for her bread and water, while her husband has his breakfast in bed. In a year or so, when she's prematurely grey and the blossom on her cheek has turned to chalk, she'll come home and lo, he'll have upped and run away with a social climbing heiress from New York. Poor Eliza, how simply frightful, how humiliating, how delightful. How poignant it will be on that inevitable night when she hammers on my door in tears and rags. Miserable and lonely, repentant and contrite, will I let her in or hurl her to the wolves? Show her kindness or the treatment she deserves? Will I take her back or throw the baggage out? But I'm a most forgiving man, the sort who never could, ever would, take a position and staunchly never budge. Just a most forgiving man. But I will never take her back. If she were crawling on her knees, let her promise to atone, let her shiver, let her moan. I will slam the door and let the hellcat freeze. Marry Freddy. But I'm so used to hear her say good morning every day. Her joys, her woes, her highs, her lows are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in, I'm very grateful she's a woman and so easy to forget. rather like a habit one can always break. And yet, I've grown accustomed to the trace of something in the air, accustomed to her face.
I want to be a lady in a flower shop instead of selling flowers at the corner of Tottenham Court Road. But they said they won't take me unless I can talk more genteel. He said he could teach me. Well, here I am, ready to pay, not asking any favour. And he treats me as if I was dirt. I know what lessons cost and I'm ready to pay.
It's almost irresistible. She's so deliciously low. So horrible.
I washed my face and hands before I come. I did.
Eliza? Where the devil are my slippers?
Jonathan Pryce as Professor Henry Higgins from the 2001 London cast recording of My Fair Lady, which won 3 Olivier Awards, including Outstanding Musical Production.
Phoenix FM.
Now, Jonathan Pryce is of course no stranger to the musical theatre stage, having played the lead in 3 major musicals, all at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane and all produced by theatre impresario Cameron McIntosh. A few years before My Fair Lady, he played Fagin in the 1994 revival of Lionel Bart's Oliver, and perhaps most famously, he created the role of the engineer in the original 1989 production of Miss Saigon, for which he won numerous awards, including an Olivier and a Tony for the Broadway transfer production. And after an absence from the West End of almost 15 years, you may have heard that Miss Saigon is finally on its way back. from the original London cast recording of the excellent Miss Saigon. That was Lea Salonga and Simon Bowman performing Sun and Moon. Well, Miss Saigon, based on Puccini's tragic Madame Butterfly, opened at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane on September the 20th, 1989, and closed in October 1999 after more than 4,000 performances. But as I mentioned earlier, a new revival production of the show is due to land at the Prince Edward Theatre in London in May 2014, and promises to be even more spectacular than the original. It will also be the first time that a UK audience will have had the opportunity to hear the brand new song, Maybe, written for the character Ellen to perform.
Phoenix FM.
Lea Salonga, who created the role of Kim in the original London and Broadway productions of Miss Saigon, won a Tony, a Olivier, a Drama Desk, an Outer Critics Circle and a Theatre World Award for her performance, which can be described as nothing less than a powerhouse.
Cradled in my arms, you asking as little as you can. Little snip of a little man. I know I'd give my life for you. Ask me to be born, you. Why should you learn of war or pain? To make sure you're not hurt again, I swear I'll give my life for you. I've tasted love beyond all fear, and you should know it's love that brought you here. And in one perfect night, when the stars burned like new, I knew what I must do. I'll give you a million things I'll never own. I'll give you a world to call. To be, you can choose whatever heaven grants, as long as you can have your chance. I swear I'll give my life for you. Sometimes I wake up reaching for him. His shadow brush my head, but there's just moonlight on my bed. Was he a ghost? Was he a lie that made my body laugh and cry? Then by my side, the proof I see, his little one, God's of the sun. To be, you can't
blimey. Once again, from the 1989 London cast recording of Miss Saigon, that was Lea Salonga with I'd Give My Life For You.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Now, Lea Salonga has often been described as having a very Disney-like quality to her voice, which the Disney studio obviously agreed with, as in 1998, she was cast as the singing voice of Mulan. From the 36th animated Disney movie, Mulan, that was Lea Salonga with Reflection. The film was nominated for an Oscar for Original Music Score, composed by Jerry Goldsmith.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And now at 6:37, it's time for the stage and screen news, featuring, as always, a big screen update from our film correspondent, movie journalist, Vicky Bufton. This weekend brought sad news as Corey Monteith, 31, best known for his role as Finn in Glee, was found dead in his hotel room in Vancouver. After struggling with addiction and a recent stay in rehab, the actor tragically overdosed on Saturday morning. His castmates took to Twitter to voice their tributes to a much-loved friend, while his girlfriend and co-star Lea Michele asked for privacy for her family and for his. He is survived by his parents and one older brother. Bond is back, and so is Sam. Mr. Mendes has confirmed that he will return to the director's chair for Bond's next outing. The producers have managed to work the shoot around his theatre schedule, and so Daniel Craig will be reunited with the Skyfall director for a 2015 scheduled film. Ben Affleck has been in talks with David Fincher for his film adaptation of bestseller Gone Girl. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo director wants Affleck for the role of Nick Dune, whose beautiful and charming wife Amy goes missing on their fifth wedding anniversary. Emily Blunt, Charlize Theron, and Natalie Portman are all rumoured to be in the running for the role of Amy. Out at the cinema this week, The World's End, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Edgar Wright return for the last chapter in their Cornetto trilogy, which should sit perfectly with Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. Also, Wajida, the tale of a young girl in Saudi Arabia who starts raising cash to buy her own bike after she's told she's forbidden to ride one as she's a girl. Also out this week, The Frozen Ground. Nicolas Cage pursues John Cusack's serial killer across Alaska with the help of a lucky escapee before he strikes again. And the UK big screen box office chart, top 5. Owen and Vaughan laugh themselves down to number 5 in The Internship, while Now You See Me follows them falling to 4 from number 2 last week. Idris Elba, Robots and Monsters come crashing into the charts as Pacific Rim debuts at number 3. Despicable Me 2 is knocked off the top spot and drops down to number 2 as Sully and Mike come bouncing back into cinemas and the top of the charts with Monsters University. And on to the stage news for this week. Shakespeare's Globe is to begin a 2-year tour of Hamlet across the globe from next spring, aiming to visit every country in the world. Directed by artistic director Dominic Drongul, the small-scale production will attempt to travel to 205 nations from April 2014. The show, which has previously toured the UK, Europe and the US, will use a cast of 8 actors. The company will perform in a range of locations, including village squares, national theatres, palaces and beaches, and aims to visit some of the most inaccessible places of the world. Beginning on April the 23rd, 2014, which marks the 450th anniversary of Shakespeare's birth, the tour will conclude on the same date in 2016, the 400th anniversary of the playwright's death. Drumgool said, "In 1608, only 5 years after it was written, Hamlet was performed on a boat, the Red Dragon, off the coast of Yemen. Just 10 years later, it was being taught extensively all over Northern Europe. The spirit of touring and of communicating stories to fresh ears was always central to Shakespeare's work. We couldn't be happier to be extending their mission even further." The Royal Opera House is to transfer its production of The Wind in the Willows to the Duchess Theatre this Christmas in an attempt to replicate the success that other subsidised organisations have had in the commercial West End. The dance-based show will run at the Duchess Theatre for an 8-week season, marking the Royal Opera House's debut transfer into the West End. Jo Brand is to make her pantomime debut by starring in Aladdin at the New Wimbledon Theatre this Christmas. She will appear as the genie alongside Matthew Kelly, who will perform as Widow Twankey. Oliver Thornton, best known for creating the West End role of Felicia in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, will appear as Aladdin. Meanwhile, David Bedella, who has performed the role of Satan in Jerry Springer the Opera, has been cast as Abenaza. Street dance troupe Flawless will also feature in the show as the Peking Police Force. The pantomime will run from December the 6th to January the 12th, 2014, and is being produced by Family First Entertainment. And finally in the news this week, new productions opening in London this very week include on Friday, July the 19th, Gabriel by Samuel Adamson opens at Shakespeare's Globe Theatre. Featuring Purcell and Handel, played by the English Concert, the play brings to life real and imagined characters including Mary II and Queen Anne, as well as the composers, patrons, musicians and audience of a vibrant and musical 17th century London. And then next Monday, the 22nd of July, The Hush opens at The Shed at the National Theatre. A creak, a shuffle, a footstep. A whisper, a breath, a memory. Investigating the emotions and politics of sound with wit and theatrical imagination. The Hush promises that the truth is out there if only we listen hard enough. Created by Matthew Herbert and Ben Power, the play contains original music and sound scores written by Matthew Herbert. You're listening to The Stage and Screen Show on Phoenix FM, and the time is 6:43.
Now We Are Free by the exceptionally talented Hans Zimmer and featuring the voice of Lisa Gerrard from Ridley Scott's 2000 movie Gladiator, starring Russell Crowe, who gives a career-defining performance as General Maximus Decimus Meridius. The soundtrack album won a Golden Globe Award for Best Original Score and was nominated for both an Academy Award and a BAFTA for Best Score. The film itself won 5 Academy Awards, including Best Actor for Crowe and Best Picture. And I'll be looking at another successful result of the pairing of Ridley Scott and Hans Zimmer in just a minute. But first, this. That was Cry from the score to the 2006 romantic comedy The Holiday, starring Cameron Diaz, Kate Winslet, Jude Law and Jack Black, and written and directed by Nancy Myers. The music for the film was composed by, once again, the prolific Hans Zimmer.
Phoenix FM.
Now, here's another piece by Zimmer, and possibly my favourite of everything he's written. This is from the score of the 2001 psychological thriller Hannibal, starring Anthony Hopkins as the cannibalistic serial killer Dr. Hannibal Lecter, and directed by, once again, Ridley Scott. But before I play the track in full, here's a short intro to put it into context.
He woke her then, and trembling and obedient, she ate that burning heart out of his hand. Weeping, I saw him then depart from me.
Producer Martha De Laurentiis.
Tonight is the scene of the opera, which is very exciting because it's actually a piece of Dante's sonnet that's never been put to music. Actually, Dante's never been put to music before.
Director Ridley Scott.
We could have just selected an opera, but I thought it was kind of interesting because I wanted the opera to be... reflect somehow Hannibal.
We had Hans Zimmer 2 weeks before we started shooting, and this was just 5 weeks ago now. So the first thing, Hans is just getting off of Mission Impossible because he's been working 24 hours a day for weeks on end. And the thing that we needed most out of Hans was the piece for tonight, because we really needed something to be able to stage, to be able to costume, to be able to cast, to be able to get, you know, full production value. So Hans said, okay, let me see what I can do. So he and Patrick Cassidy, who works with him, came up with this fabulous piece of music to put to Dante's sonnet from La Vita Nuova.
It took everybody, you know, because you kept replaying the music, replay, as you do every single take. Everyone, every single take, just still loved that haunting melody.
Superb. Vida cor meum by Hans Zimmer from the 2001 movie Hannibal. And of course, Anthony Hopkins first portrayed the monstrous psychopath a decade earlier in a movie that was to earn him an Academy Award. Closing the show this week, the main title's theme there from The Silence of the Lambs, composed by Howard Shore. And that's it for another week. After the news, Melanie Watson will be here with Body Talk in association with Spire Hartswood Hospital. Thank you, as always, to Vicky Bufton for her screen news and to you there for listening. And I hope you can join me next week for more from Hollywood, Broadway and the West End. That's the Stage and Screen Show next Wednesday at 6 p.m. only on Phoenix FM. So until then...
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Back home, bro.
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.
From the Sky News Centre at 7, the Met Office has upgraded its alert as Britain bakes during the hottest spell of weather for 7 years.